drinking this album. Listen to the brews. I think it would pair well, if only for you. Cause it's album and brews. It's album.
Hello, my dear friends. Welcome back to Album or Brews, the stickiest music podcast. God bless your transgender heart. My name is Sarah.
Fuck my life, 666. I have to change all my passwords now. Fuck. my name is Zach.
They doxed you.
I know.
Shit.
Hi, my name is Mech. My pronouns are they, them, and I want to piss on the walls of your house.
Hi, my name is Dan. I'm a he, him, and I don't worry about tomorrow anymore because I'm dead.
Thank you two so much for coming on. We are so excited to have Dan and Mech from Robot Civil War, Chicago's hardest, fastest punk rock you've ever heard at a venue near you. Thank you guys so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
What can you tell us a little bit about Robot Civil War? What's your elevator pitch?
It's loud, hard, fast, and we fucking rock.
Hell yeah, that is a good elevator pitch.
Like, what else do you need to know?
I mean, if you want to have a good gay time at a punk rock show, if you want to hear like mind-numbing drum parts and blistering Ooh. Riffs, and I don't know, I'm usually in fishnets if that's your thing.
Wow, I'm pitched.
I'm thoroughly
elevator pitched, but not, I mean, maybe also pitched, but.
Can I ask where the name Robot Civil War came from? I'm so curious if it's a story you're willing to share.
No, I'm kidding. no, Dan and I worked together and we were trying to come up with different names for the band. No goods receipt was a good one because that was a sticker that came on a box.
There was a garbage ass fuck boys.
I loved garbage ass fuck boys.
That's really good.
It's really good.
We still hang on to that name just in case.
You gotta like get that Instagram handle just
just
in case.
In case.
X _ garbage ass fuck boys. Yes. _ X. Yes. Straight edge hardcore.
Yeah.
I forget even how it came up, but we were talking about like automation and replacing jobs and stuff, and like it's going to come down that there's going to be the people who run the robots, and then there's going to be the robots, and then there's going to be whoever. You got to pick a side. So as labor,
it's not a civil war between the two robot factions, like a good robot faction and an evil one.
No, it's the robots it's the robots overthrowing the owning class, which is different than like the petit bourgeois. I'm kidding.
We can do that. We can get into that.
Yeah, get into some robot sociology.
Yeah, the robot bourgeoisie.
Yeah. I appreciate the lore. I just love good band name lore.
Yeah, that's really good.
Well, again, thank you both for being here. Will you let the folks know at home, the ones who can't read and stumbled their way into the dark into this podcast episode, somehow what album we're going to talk about today and what our drink pairing is?
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about the Against Me album Transgender Dysphoria Blues, and we are pairing it today with a lovely Topo Chico and Lime. Laura Jane Grace, the lead singer and guitar player of Against Me, is completely sober now. We felt like to honor that with a nice little Topo Chico, and we all have a little bit of lime that I cut up like 10 minutes ago, sitting here in our nice little glasses now.
Nice little zest.
It's so fresh. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never done the lime in the Topo Chico, and I can't go back now.
You can't go back.
It changes it.
Yeah. This is like if a 7-Up was perfect.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hot takes, but I'm here for it.
Yeah. I like that.
This is like,
the older I get, the more it's like soda is just too much sugar, and it coats my teeth, and I feel weird and bad.
Yeah. Yeah, this is great. This makes me feel not weird and not bad, which is...
It's a good contrast for me, as I've been getting into a lot of different like exotic sodas from like Latin America and South America. And the one thing that they do not skimp on the sugar. It is like...
Cane.
It is like 55 grams of sugar in each one of those cans. And my God, it's so good though, but it's awful for you.
Kind of live.
Yeah.
Well, before we get into the record, I have a fun little game for all of us to play. And for all of us, I mean you three.
Oh, good. Sometimes I don't get to play and I feel sad.
Zach, you get to play this time.
No, I'm excited.
Okay. So A fun and special thing about the band Against Me is at the end of the band name, they have a certain piece of punctuation, a little exclamation point. And there are several musical artists who very specifically make things difficult for band poster, show poster creators of all varieties by having specific punctuation in their band name. So I've devised a little game called Punctuation in the Musical Vocation, where I have a playlist comprised of bands who have punctuation in their band name. All three of you are going to be playing against each other.
Oh, you mean they're playing against me?
Yes. I'm going to start playing.
I will piss on the walls of your house.
Okay, we got to make sure Mech wins this one. It's not rigged. It's not rigged. I'll start playing a song. Buzz in just once you can name the artist. And then you can go for a bonus point and tell me specifically what and where the punctuation in this artist's name is.
Oh, that's fun.
So you like get the point if you just get the artist period. Or exclamation point, or question mark, or parentheses. and then, yeah, you can go for the gold if you want to show off.
Boogie.
Let's get
it. Rock.
Let's rock and roll. Number one.
Oh, I know this. This is R.E.M. And
correct.
The periods are after every letter.
But you didn't buzz in. I didn't hear a buzz from you.
You know what?
Buzz off.
I will award those points with a buzz is necessary going forward.
This game is rigged.
All right, buzz, buzz.
Buzz, buzz. Yes, you are correct. That is R.E.M. Losing My Religion, and the periods are after each letter.
What does R.E.M. stand for?
Rapid Eye Movement.
For a second.
It's not random
my,
access memory.
That's where we're going. Zach, we have the same
that would
brain
be a good, that would be a good mashup or a good chaotic playlist idea. R.E.M. versus R.A.M.
Yeah, just a Daft Punk R.E.M. playlist.
Yeah.
And then like just to mix it up, the Paul McCartney record is like also in there.
Yeah, there you go. We love Paul McCartney.
Okay, number next.
Yo, buzz, buzz.
Buzz.
It's Panic at the Disco, and Panic is after the exclamation points after C.
Oh, my God. Mm. They're going for blood. That's two more points for Mech. That is Panic at the Disco with the exclamation point after the Panic, specifically after the C. Next.
Buzz, buzz.
Buzz, buzz.
That is Portugal the Man, and correct. It's a period after the L in Portugal.
Yes!
Wow.
Good job, Dan!
You found my weak spot.
2010s indie music.
All right, next. I'm so surprised that Zach hasn't guessed this yet.
On the tip of my tongue.
Like, wow. Okay. This is The Academy Is.
Oh my gosh. With three periods
with an ellipses
at the end.
Yeah. After the word is. The song is
that
called
is
About a
my
Girl.
Alley, but I did miss those guys. That wasn't my pop punk song.
Which album was that off of? Because I know, I'm familiar with some of their stuff, but yeah, no, cannot.
It looks like
that.
This was off of Fast Times at Barrington High.
Okay, that was after.
They're a Chicago band.
Oh, shit.
Oh, for real? Oh, I know they play like Riot Fest almost like every other year.
Yeah, come on our show.
Yeah, they're a Chicago band. They were on Fueled by Ramen.
Yeah.
Fast Times at Barrington High.
I love learning something new every day. Well, next.
No points.
No points. Too hard. No points.
Okay. Buzz, buzz. It's Tyler, period, the creator.
You are correct, but not with the bonus point. It is Tyler, comma.
Oh,
creator.
My God.
I thought it was Chance, comma, the rapper.
I'm so silly.
It is a comma, though.
I'm so silly.
You still got the point, though.
I don't think Chance
is
any punctuation.
No, he doesn't. No. But that's where my mind went when I started hearing the hip-hop. I was like...
Also, Buzz Buzz is appropriate because this album cover is full of little honeybees.
Yeah. Aw, that is a good record.
All right, one more point for... You're at three total for Dan. Zach, step your pussy up.
I know. Buzz, Blink-182.
Yeah? Tell me about the punctuation.
Period after the K.
It's a dash.
Is it a dash?
Is
it a period?
A hyphen, if you will.
Stolen valor.
Okay, so the bonus point is, I'll say dead in the water, but Zach, you get the 1 point for guessing the artist.
The real question is if it's an M dash or an N dash, and they don't make that clear on any of the albums.
Wow, you're so right. I'm such a fake fan for not knowing about the dash.
Is it an M dash if there's a space on either end?
The M dash is the longer boy.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And then the hyphen is the smallest one. Then there's an M dash. And M dash is very Scott Fitzgerald, very like,
yeah.
I'm a sad expat. I've been drinking for days on end in Paris, and I don't know why my wife doesn't love me.
Wow.
M dash.
Wow, I see it really, yeah.
The M stands for
majorly miserable.
Majorly miserable. Next.
This is a good game, sir.
Oh, Buzz Buzz.
Buzz Buzz.
It's Wham with an exclamation point.
Wham! That's 2 more points.
That's the record where they earned the exclamation point.
Yeah.
My brain's like, it's George Michael.
Yes. And it's like, kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm. But George Michael, I guess, doesn't have any punctuation. Unless he wanted to add some pizzazz. Next. This one I picked just because it has the most punctuation. But I'm not very familiar with this artist.
I mean, I definitely listen to bands in this genre. Like,
oh, yeah.
All the bands around it.
Yeah, I was listening to Who at this point.
Oh, man.
That's classic rock and nothing.
I do not know that singer.
Yeah, I don't know it either.
Fair enough. I was not very familiar with this artist. This is Empire with exclamation points. And then parentheses, I was a lonely estate.
I was getting ready to guess Chunk No Captain Chunk.
Also a very long band name.
Yeah.
There's a band called Chunk No Captain Chunk.
Yeah. It's exclamation points, I think.
Really good.
I've seen them. I saw them one time. They were opening for... whatever the Austin Carlisle band was. Oh, gosh. Of Mice and Men.
Oh, yeah.
That band, yeah.
They were a Warped Tour band, you know?
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
they have the freaking...
I just like the Goonies.
they have the risers on stage so that when they go for the breakdowns, they're like, oh, we're so much taller.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, we have one left. Okay. It all comes down to this.
Y'all niggas got me hot.
Oh, I know.
This is the Buzz Buzz.
Ooh. It's... Come on.
It's the drummer from Silk Sonic.
Come on.
He's got a great Tiny Desk. He plays this
one on it.
I just watched this Tiny Desk.
It's really good.
Sick.
You're killing me here.
The first time I listened to this record was at your house.
I mean, I'm giving Fine. You all the time here. Come on.
I cede my time to the senator from New York.
It's Anderson .Paak, and it's the period before the P. Yeah.
You are so correct. And with that, I think you take it.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You are the star grammar student of this episode.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for playing.
Can't believe you missed Husker Du and Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh, whoa.
Blue Oyster Cult has punctuation? Oh.
They have an umlaut over the
U,
and I think over the U.
Wow, Mac here being like, you didn't run your game right. You didn't stick to my specific takes.
No, I was just like so ready to be like, okay, like as soon as there's Husker Du, like you gotta go.
I was like ready to buzz.
Is the umlaut, like, is that specifically punctuation or is that just like a different character though?
Yeah, because I was like, Borns? Like, what else
right.
is...
Yeah.
Right.
That's true. It's not punctuation. It's a different character.
Yeah.
I'll do a different
Get off your
game
high horse.
Yeah.
Where but if there's all... like a tilde over like, yeah. It's called a tilde over like an in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like an inye.
Uh-huh. The... Oh. I'll do a different one where it's all like accent marks and there things of the yeah. like. And you gotta tell
bring
me
us,
where the
bring us back
loudest.
Around to.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
you go.
That'll
my,
be
my
real
half an English degree will be avenged.
Or just like straight up spelled wrong, like Alves.
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 Yeah. Hey, no
or like
rules.
Bands or like bands that have like multiple words in their name, like multiples of the same word, like pigs, 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 pigs.
Or chick, chick, chick.
Chick, chick, chick.
The yeah, yeah, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
Yada, yada.
Yada, yada.
Ooh. Locals.
Shout out. Yeah.
There you go.
Another Rebruz alum.
Uh-huh.
Hey.
Rebruzalem. Hey, suddenly. It's like, do you all want to go to Rebruzalem?
It's like very giving like, quest to Camelot.
We'll go on a this journey together.
Bring beer.
You need to like write a D&D campaign
in Rebruzalem. I will
go
do that.
To Rebruzalem.
Thank you for
that
Mac.
Really
that
delicious. Well, we've gotten our sillies out. And I'm sure we've still got more to give, but let's talk a little bit about the album that we are going to be discussing today. I'm curious why, of all the beautiful, beautiful music in this world, y'all brought this album across our desk. We're very excited about it.
This is one of my favorite records. I was introduced to Laura Jean Grace before I was introduced to Against Me because she was on a compilation record for the podcast, I only listened to the Mountain Goats.
Mm.
And she does some Mountain Goats covers that were really good. And so I was on a quest to figure out who this person was and found a lot of these tracks acoustic when she was promoting the record. And that was the hearing Black Me Out acoustic.
Ooh.
Was intense and incredible. And at the time, I was going through a lot of personal stuff myself with, like, the gender dysphoria situation and working some stuff out. This record was just, like, an absolute, like, line in the sand, flag up high, like, fuck you, here it is. Like, yeah. Let's go. Yeah, that's, I could talk about this on end. There was one night, actually, I didn't want to go out. I'd been feeling like really crappy all day and I'd had panic attacks and like it was just like a whole thing. And it was my friend's going away party and I was about to text them and be like, I'm sorry, you know, I'm gonna miss your going away party. I'll come see you sometime, like if I'm ever in Kentucky or whatever. And then my friend posted a picture of the outfit she was wearing to the party and she looked really great. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, if she's gonna be there and she looks that good, like I can get dressed, I can get my shit together. And so I put on Transgender Dysphoria Blues, took a shot, and got in the shower, and took another shot, and then shaved all the facial hair, and you know, got my hair done, put on a pretty dress, took another shot, and then at this point, like halfway through the record, almost all the it's only like what 28 minutes,
yeah.
Yeah,
and so it's just like been like going as loud as possible in my apartment,
hell yeah,
and I'm like drinking alone, naked and angry,
fuck yes,
and then I'm like, all right, let's go,
let's go.
So yeah, I love this record.
Yeah. I gotta live.
And then like I've been a fan of Against Me for a while, like at least. When their album New Wave came out in like 2007 was kind of when I started becoming familiar with them. And my brother was also like a really big fan who like helped get me into a lot of the punk music that I'm into still. And I remember that record specifically too, being amazing. And then just kind of following them, like, you know, as I has been growing up. And then I like kind of fell out with them a little bit. And then when that record, when Transgender Dysphoria Blues came out, it also like kind of hit me at a time where like I was in a relationship where my partner was queer and I was like really starting to like question a lot of things in my life, especially with like my views on like queerness, transness, you know, and where I was in my life. And that record, it doesn't hold anything back. It like fucking tells you, like, I'm fucking here, like, and I'm gonna fucking live. So it really hit me at a time of like questioning a lot of that, exposing it to me too. And because I mean, like at the time too, like Laura Jean Grace was, it just felt like she was everywhere, mm-hmm. like coming out about it. It was like one of the loudest like statements. Like before then, like I wouldn't consider myself like the most, yeah,
like you weren't really plugged into like the world and culture and stuff that's going on. It's like, you know, you were younger, you'd been trying to kind of figure out what your vibe was, staying in your lane, mm-hmm. and then you go to college and you meet some people, and it's like, oh, there's other people, and mm-hmm. they live differently than I grew up. And like, what's the vibe here? Like, how do I feel about this?
Yeah,
like,
no, I think you hit the nail on the head there.
That was I went to college, and like I knew a whole bunch of stuff about myself in theory, but I didn't have words for it until I met people like at school.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. yeah, and also the record just fucking rocks.
Yeah,
like it kicks
off
ass.
Off the bat.
Yeah, it catches you immediately right where when it starts off, and yeah, I just that record it just fucking rocks and has been like a high point for me for like with. Like their catalog and like, yeah, like knowing a bunch of their music, they have a lot of high points and good stuff. But that one for me was like a really big one and kind of hit me too, like in like a very formative part of my life too.
I forget who we were going to go see, but there was one night we were leaving from my old apartment up in Edgewater. I used to live in like Hollywood and Broadway, right? Mm-hmm. Like where Lakeshore Drive goes to die. And
I know the spot.
A great way to describe it, yes.
And it was me and a couple of friends who are also gender fuckers extraordinaire, and we were going to see somebody at Talia Hall, but I put this record on, and it was one of those nights in June where like the windows are down, the pedal is down, the tunes are up, and you're cruising down Lakeshore Drive.
Hell yeah.
Ugh. Magnificent.
So choice.
Cinematic.
And then our guitar player, Brian, also has a connection with this record too, because Laura Jean Grace and Against Me like played at one of our local record shops way back in Rochester, New York, back in 2014. And so he got to meet Laura Jean Grace and then also got a copy of the record signed.
Oh, man.
And he added in like True Transoul Rebel into like his acoustic set that he would play.
Sick.
So
yeah, like at straight bars and
yes.
they'd be like,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah. at like the local joint that like you bring your family to, and then hell yeah, just pulls that one out. Like
it's like extremely masculine, like hairy dude with massive facial hair.
$5 pitchers of like Miller Lite.
Yeah.
Oh, I know the spot.
And True Trans
Rebel.
Fuck yes.
I love
and
it.
And the nice little on top of it too.
How about you, Sarah? What's your history
with this
record?
I came in so green to this record. I like totally missed the boat on Against Me. I had definitely heard of Laura Jean Grace before, mainly because I watch a lot of TikToks where people recommend books, and a lot of people have recommended her memoir.
Oh.
I have not read it yet, but it's on my list because everything I read about her, she seems like such a fascinating and like the definition of punk rock person.
Yeah.
Like she just seems cool as hell. And we have the same middle name. We're both Janes. But like listening to this, I'd like to note, like, we're recording this on January 22nd. It's almost, we missed it by a day, the 10-year anniversary of this record coming out.
Wow.
Which is crazy because it, I think, holds up so well and feels like something that could have been released yesterday and I still would have been impressed with it. I just think it's so kick-ass. It punches you in the face, like, immediately. And you're like, oh, this is going to be fucking fun. And it's also so, like, explicit with its queerness and with its transness. Like, I'll probably say this later, but I think there's so much beauty in like metaphor and creativity in metaphor, but it's also very important to have something so explicit and to say like this is a trans album about trans dysphoria, like period. Do not interpret it any other way.
Yeah,
like this is media for this purpose, and I think that's sick as fuck.
Yeah, it kicks ass.
Yeah, and I also think it has, like, it also does have, like, a universal appeal, though, with, like, themes that, like, you know, any person on the street, too, can, like, kind of
totally
identify with, like, being alienated, you know, people like putting you down and feeling like an underdog, or like just like even kind of like existing in your own body. Mm-hmm. Like it is so specific to like the trans experience, but it has themes where like people can like empathize with it. Like,
totally.
Yeah. Which is such an important thing about art form, right? Is you can put yourself in someone's shoes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See things from a different perspective. Like this I gained a perspective.
Hell yeah.
From listening to this record.
Are you familiar with Against Me?
Yeah, so we've actually been recommended this album like once or twice to put on the show back when we were still taking suggestions. So I've listened to it before, but I didn't do like such a deep dive into the lyricism, into the lead singer and the history and all there. So I really enjoyed it. Had a really good time.
Hell yeah.
So Chicago has adopted her. She is local now.
Oh, great.
One of her solo records, she has a song called I Hate Chicago. And it's kind of a love letter to the city. A lot of people kind of secretly hate it.
Yeah.
That feels about right.
It's like really funny when like I like watch a live video of her playing I Hate Chicago. And it's just
I was there.
You were there?
Wow. At the Lincoln Hall show.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my besties and I went. And it was so funny because at one point everybody's like, fuck you, Chicago's great. But then it's like, no, actually, these are really valid points. You've picked very specific things that even, nobody likes that, man.
Yeah. There are also points, too, like, of seeing, like, videos of it where it's, like, fellow Chicagoans being like, yeah, fucking Athos.
That's so good.
Also, she's got a record release party at Sleeping Village on February 16th.
Ooh.
And our dear friends of the pod, Calico Loco, are opening.
Playing.
Yeah.
Which is fucking crazy sauce.
Yeah.
Danny, congratulations. You're going to fucking rock that shit. Well, yeah. I guess it's after the fact when this is coming out. Congratulations. You rocked that shit.
Congratulations.
So we'll crazy. There. I saw it's already sold out. So like, I won't be there.
I bought tickets. Yeah. 10 a.m. Like,
as you fucking should.
I got my tickets.
Oh my God.
You did?
Yeah, I got tickets too, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, we'll live it's vicariously. That's going to go crazy. And Sincere Engineer. Good Lord. Well, with all of that gushing, shall we get into the first track and go freaking track by track?
Yes.
Through this Gorgini album?
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's get it.
Let's not.
Let's go.
I gotta pee.
Oh yeah, go find it.
Gorgeous.
Valid.
Yoink.
I would like to bring us back in with a fun quote I found from the Chicago Tribune in the year 2014.
Woohoo!
This is Greg Gott's review. And he says, Grace howls over a galloping rhythm that suggests a punked up hootenanny on track number one. And I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Have y'all ever been to a hootenanny?
No.
I have not.
Have you? What is a hootenanny? I just like the word. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It's just another word for like a party sort of. But like it's specifically like some redneck shit will be got up to.
Right.
It's got like a swing your partner around and around type of.
Last time my cousins got up to a hootenanny, we were shooting fireworks off of a pier.
Yeah, that sounds like a hootenanny.
Over the Gulf. And the wind, there was a storm coming in, so the wind was blowing them like back in our face. And so you had to shoot them off like parallel to the water, six feet up. And then the wind would blow it straight up over your head.
Oh my God.
Just a little like redneck math.
My Aunt Babs is there like, y'all don't blow your fingers off. Like, Aunt Babs are fine. I have an engineering degree.
It's fine. You're fine.
So I thought that was good. I thought he really hit the nail on the head with a
That's really good.
Yeah.
I kind of just want to like play the first little bit of this.
Let's hear some of this hootenanny.
And we can get into this hootenanny.
That train beep.
Yeah. Hey.
It's so fun. Like, don't you want to go commit a crime?
Yeah,
just gets me all jazzed up.
Gets you ready for some hootenanny.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, the first line of all this is your tells are so obvious, right?
Yeah.
This is
brutal.
Yeah. I love asking this question. What do you two think about this song, like, as an opener? How do you feel about its position in the track list?
Perfect.
Yeah, you got to come out. You got to come out swinging. Track one, you need a big riff or you need drums.
Yeah.
Those drums. Those drums just make a statement right there, like coming right off.
Those ones come out swinging, like American Idiot.
Yeah.
Like you need something that says, "I have some political opinions I would like to express."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here they are.
Clock in.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Shout out to their drummer Adam Willard, who was a
beast.
Yeah. That dude's been around and drummed for Rocket from the Crypt, The Offspring for a while too. Yeah. So dude's got chops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Angels and Airwaves too for a little bit. Yeah.
Oh dang. I didn't realize it was that drummer. I didn't find that. That's awesome.
Yeah, he's got a little pedigree. The drummer, sorry, I can get nerdy about it.
Get
too.
Into
yeah,
it.
Oh yeah. My god. So the drummer before Adam Willard was this dude Jay Weinberg. Jay Weinberg, then after leaving the band, he left Against Me via tweet. Just said, "I'm leaving the band. Thanks you all for your support." Yeah, he just left via tweet and then went and joined Slipknot. He was the replacement drummer for Joey Jordison in that band. Anyways, getting it back there. Just Adam Willard just like comes in, just like, that's the dude you call to quick replace. We lost our drummer. Please help. And then Adam's like, yeah, sure, man.
Work.
Yeah, he took the work.
Yeah, also a way to come in with the track that's also like the album name, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Hey, like, this is what the album is about. Back to your point, Sarah. Like,
yeah.
They're not shy about it.
Bold and gorgeous move. And they're already hitting you with like, wham, bam, these are my feelings of dysphoria. Fuck you. Like, I love how like almost like brash and like bold Laura Jane Grace's like vocals are. Like, she's fucking wailing on this track. She's wailing on all these tracks. But like, I've been like singing along to the song. This is like the one that keeps getting stuck in my head like all damn week. That's so good.
You're talking about it being big, brash, and bold. It was the first time since American Idiot that I had heard somebody use the F slur in a song, coming out big and swinging, being like, you want to try it?
Right.
Mm.
Like, yeah, like, I know that's what you're thinking. You want to settle it outside? Like, and I don't know. That was a big thing for me. Like,
yeah.
Starting to wear dresses and stuff going out. And then it's like, well, they can say this, but Laura Jane Grace has got your back.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. She knows what's up. She knows what's up.
Mm-hmm.
And you can really like empathize with that, like, I mean, it's one of those things where like now we are in a place where like straight cis men are like painting their nails and wearing skirts and stuff. And there are people who will like just kind of, I don't know. I wonder sometimes if it's harder to feel validated by society in an identity when things just kind of get like blurrier, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I can really empathize again with like wanting to be seen as a trans person, wanting to be seen as a woman just by the virtue of it and not having to like, I don't know, perform
mm-hmm.
or like get surgery or like do these very like drastic things. And it's like, why is my identity not just it, period, mm-hmm. for everyone automatically? And it's not a struggle I've like personally, you know, undergone, but I love it. I love her writing about it. I love the anger that's in it. I love the frustration
mm-hmm.
That, again, is just so blunt. It's sick as fuck and it's very catchy. And also the lyric, "You've got no cunt in your strut," I think is awesome.
Oh, that's such a good line.
I think the meaning of that line has maybe changed a bit since 2014, because like cunt is kind of a good thing now. Mm-hmm.
I hadn't even thought about it. That like,
wow,
yeah.
That it's like no, it's like attitude. It's
exactly.
Like cunty.
Yeah. Yes,
but it's like no, it's like the way that you walk is physically. There's, you know.
Yeah.
What's the word I'm looking for?
Hardware.
Yes.
Sure, yeah.
You know, it changes your gait a little.
Right. But at first when I heard that line, I was thinking of like a supermodel like Conti walk. And I was like, okay, work.
I don't think anybody has looked at Against Me and went, yes.
Well, that hadn't had me look at that.
It's a bunch of crusties in the pit. Get it.
Me in the center of the pit, like, yes.
Bunch of the anarcho punk crusties there.
No, for real though. Yeah. I saw Against Me at the Metro at a after show for Riot Fest playing with Sincere Engineer. And it was really, really funny because the crowd was a lot of old, like, anarcho crusties, you know, people who'd been following them since like 2001 and whatever else. And then there's like a mismatch of like 17-year-old tiny queer children who are like there for rock and roll legend, transgender icon, Laura Jane Grace. And you can just, it's just like, kids, you're about to learn a lesson in like acts of unspeakable violence, but I'm glad you're here.
That's awesome.
I love.
Before we get too far past this song, I do want to listen to a little bit of a drum fill.
Sure.
We can always listen to a drum fill.
Yeah. That just, I think, really, it like she's being awesome with her vocally, and then the drum fills like are awesome, and then she even sounds even better right after it.
Mm.
But you'll understand right after we listen to it.
And that's the last chorus.
Something about like the cattywampus of it, like it's kind of angular, and then it comes back in headbanging when she comes in singing. It's really good.
Can you tell me what you mean by the cattywampus of it?
It's like it's not like it's not like Phil Collins like
it's like angular.
You want them to notice?
Like, this is how it danced to like a very like straight fill, like same, but this one's like,
oh yeah, yeah, you get a little more wiggly with it.
Yeah,
yeah.
You kind of like fall apart and then you come back together.
We had a Halloween show out in the Kelb, and everybody's like pretending to be different bands, right? Oh, so we did Against Me, and only inaccuracy is that I play bass rather than a Rickenbacker guitar. But we're doing, we started the show with this song.
Oh, nice.
And there's something about that drum fill. Like, it's powerful.
Yeah.
Because, like, Dan fucking nailed it. Just, and, you know, we're playing, like, some DIY spot outside of, like a skate shop.
Yeah.
And, but, like, you come out of the cattywampus bit, and then sure enough, you're like, you what? Like, at that point, like, it's on.
Yeah.
It's a powerful drum fill.
Yeah.
The most powerful we've talked about, I think.
I would agree, I think. Yeah.
It does something to the song that, like, is good.
Oh, yeah. Fucks you right up.
Yeah.
Deliciously.
Shout out Adam Willard. You did it.
You did it.
Shout freaking out. Let's go into the second track.
Tree
Trans Soul Rebel.
Also another great riff.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, the 1-2 punch on this record.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We talk about like legs of records that are really good. I think this is like a fantastic three songs in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I want her to say, instead of Trans Soul Rebel, I want her to say Transsexuals from Transylvania and go into like a Rocky Horror song.
Laura Jane Grace acts like it's a collab Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
Work. Okay. That could be a fucked up fun little Halloween moment.
Oh, there you go.
Perhaps.
It is like a modern punk rock Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That would kind of rip.
Yeah.
I would go see that live on the screen.
I would as well, in fact. Tell me what you two think about this song. What do you love?
That's what we think. Yeah. I dressed up and nowhere to go. Oh, I love the vocals on this song.
Like, what's not to love? It's a perfect pop song that also rips face.
Period. Yeah. Yeah. Let me just play a little bit. Let's show the children at home what's up. Kicks ass.
It's so good. The chorus is great.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm looking up the lyric to make sure I get it right versus what I sing in the car. Mm.
Yeah.
Sometimes two different things, which is a bummer. Yeah.
The verses are very similar to like my experience, right? The line in the chorus, does God bless your transsexual heart?
Yeah.
And it's an open-ended question, right? Mm. Like, where are you going to get an answer for that? Like,
yeah.
A lot of that wondering and open-ended doubt / faith like ends up in a lot of art stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
Where it's like, well, I discovered this record at about the same time when I started writing the songs that were Robot Civil War's first record. And I mean, I was drinking alone in a bathroom in Edgewater with a ukulele and a phone mic. But you know, like this is definitely the vibe where it's like, you know, this is what I'm trying to do. Does it have cosmic significance, or is it just enough that that I woke up this morning and I'm gonna wake up again tomorrow? And that's I don't know. That's the thing that always got me about this one. That,
yeah.
That and the fact that it's a perfect song. Like the bass part rips. Mm-hmm. The riff is great. The drums are fantastic.
Yeah, they really are perfect songs. Like, there's no fat to trim. Like, the message is great. Uh-huh. The songs around them are like just rip.
The bridge on the song.
Ooh, we love a good bridge.
Brilliant.
Do you have it?
Should have been a wife.
Yeah, should have been a mother. Oh my god, I'm gonna find it because I
have a theory about the great songs.
Mm. Yeah,
which is that there's songs that are very good.
Uh huh.
And everybody likes them. Mm-hmm. The great songs you can play in a variety of genres, a variety of styles, and they still hold up as great songs.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
You could do this as like a dub reggae.
Yeah.
And it still is great.
Yeah.
You could do like a hyper pop, like, dush, 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 and it would be great.
Holy
be great.
Shit.
Wow, you're so right.
That would be awesome. Oh, and I would like to see it.
Ooh, I got an interesting factoid I can add, and I can add to assist that point.
Yes, please do.
Like how good Brian sounds when he sings this one by himself. Just acoustic guitar and
in a bar.
No,
it's a shout out to Brian. I wish he was here.
Yeah, he could have some other good things. I'm trying to remember where exactly, but basically, you know, like the hockey organist, the person who's they're playing the organ at all the hockey games. So someone did like a version of True Transsoul Rebel
on a hockey organ.
Oh my god, yeah, it's awesome. Her name is Lindsay Imber. I unfortunately do not know
of Lindsay Imber.
Oh, you know?
I know of her.
Yeah.
I don't like know her. We're not like pals or homies or anything.
I'm gonna play this. I found a video. I wanna hear it.
I wanna hear it too.
Fuck yes.
This is so good.
A great song.
And they're in like a hockey rink, I think. That's really good.
That's very awesome.
Yeah.
Told you.
Oh my god. No, yeah, you're right.
That's very good.
Yes. So Zach, you said that This album starts with a very good 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
What's the third one?
And Unconditional
Love. Unconditional Love.
I think is a great
tune. Baby. Yeah. What do you like about
also it? Also asking more questions, right, that don't necessarily have an answer.
True. Kind of, yeah. But in kind of a, this one reminds me of like a sea shanty a little bit.
A little bit, yes.
Even if you love. Hey, I picture a bunch of dudes at like a pub, at a poob. Raising up their Guinness.
Yeah.
And singing, hey!
Hey!
Which is kind of awesome.
I like the album cover off of, is it Reinventing Axl Rose?
Yeah.
Where the person's on the front with the Molotov.
Yeah. This one sounds like it should have been in Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2. I know the song came out way later.
Yeah.
But
right. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 poisoned the minds of an entire generation of you.
Oh my god, it poisoned my mind so much.
Before that, the children were off of ska.
Rolling back in.
Nah, I got right back onto it.
Damn it.
You see that tweet that was like when COVID was coming back around, it's like experts fear a fourth wave. And it's like,
fourth wave, oh, ska.
No, actually, there's a really serious like Latin ska scene in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah.
If you go poking around, there's like the Nujales Underground, and yeah, they're so good. You gotta check them out.
Evil Empire, Evil also Empire. a sick band.
Bumsy and the Moochers. We've had Caitlin Edwards on.
We have had Caitlin on.
Oh, I love Caitlin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out Bumsy.
Yeah, Bumsy.
This song though, Unconditional Love. I mean, outside of kind of giving me pirate drinking song, the. Christ. My first note that I wrote for this was, this is giving pirate drinking song in a sleigh way. So that's how I felt. But it, I really like the sort of a thesis that I got from the chorus, which is like, if your love is unconditional, it still wouldn't be enough to save me. And it's sort of hearkening to this, like, let's say you come out to someone in your life and they're like not hip to the jive, and they're like, oh well, I love you no matter what, but I can't agree with your choice or something, like some bullshit like that.
Oh, man.
And it's like, well, that's not really unconditional, but also like, fuck off. So I just think it's like an interesting thing to write about in a song. I'm
to quote the late great Aaron Carter.
Yes.
You don't love me, you love the idea of who you think I am.
Yeah.
Mm. Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this one is about her partner, right?
Maybe.
Did I read that?
I don't get into a lot of the meta.
The one about her partner, I think is more so "fuck my life 666."
Oh, yes. That one is, yeah, yes. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Very that. Yeah, I think this one is maybe a little more broad.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder if
you
there
shouldn't
was a...
call her partner abroad.
Okay. These two broads over here.
I'm glad to hear somebody else make that joke, because like, legit, I was, when I was like 18, I'm like, dad, I want to study abroad in college, and he's like, just one.
That's good.
Primo dad. Well done, dad.
Like, thanks, dad.
Do y'all have any other thoughts about Unconditional Love?
I love it unconditionally.
Mm, that's very sweet.
I mean, this is another one that we played, and it was it's a lot of words to try to get out while also like maintaining a groove.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So shout out to Against Me for being able to pull that off night after night.
It is a groove.
Yeah, and also like with the third verse, I feel like that's kind of like Laura Jane like speaking to like, I guess like younger trans folk, or like other folks like it, like, don't worry, young suicides, the vultures will pick your bones dry. It's like, it is, it's like another like popping up, like, well, like another dark part of it. Yeah. Where it is like acknowledging like,
yeah, burnt coffee and Percocets, this night too will end.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, been there, but, yeah. But also
I'm in this picture and I don't like it.
the line though, this night too will end. Mm-hmm. I think that's I don't know, the sun does keep coming around.
Yeah.
And that's and that's the thing, it's like you can be as angry as you want, you can shout about things as loudly as you want, and then the sun will go down and then the sun will come up as long as mm-hmm. you keep breathing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's some constants.
Mm.
Also, I just like the lines, you make me want to smoke cigarettes. You make me want to drink whiskey.
Yeah, there's a few people on my whiskey and cigarettes list, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's like that Remo Drive song, which I think came out a couple of years later. You make me want to start smoking fat-ass blunts.
You make yes! me want to start rolling yes. fast. Yeah, yeah. I love that first Remo Drive record.
Love yeah. Greatest yeah. Hits.
The fattest blunt I ever saw.
Let's get into
yeah,
it.
Here we go.
Was on the Red Line coming up from the South Side. And we were going past Sox 35th. And a game was getting out. And like when you're on the Red Line and you're going past Wrigley and a game gets out, it's all the worst people you've ever seen.
Yeah.
They're mm-hmm. drunker than a barrel of monkeys. And they're just like, they treat each other so poorly. Mm. We get out and it's like the train car fills up. It's not packed, but like it's pretty full. And there's a guy who'd been sitting across from me and he pulls out his stash and starts rolling a fat ass blunt.
Fuck yeah.
And this thing is probably 8 inches long.
Uh-huh. Wow.
It's looking like he might be going for the Chipotle like blunterito.
I was gonna say like, what's the girth on this?
Yeah,
the girth is like a big bed.
So we've got like
cigar.
An enchilada,
wow. Right? Yeah,
of a blunt,
an enchilada of a blunt. That's fair. Yeah.
Holy
yeah.
shit!
And so, and everybody's just kind of watching him because yeah. he's oblivious to the fact that the car just filled up with like not drunk but like kind of buzzed Sox fans.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then finally he tucks in the ends and he pulls out his lighter. And someone's like, man, and he looks up and he suddenly realizes that there's like 40 people in a very small space. And he looks up, he goes, oh shit. And he's like, you don't mind if I smoke this? And everybody's kind of like, nobody wants to be like mean because like he'd been really nice.
Right. Yeah.
But also everybody's like, dude, we were in a confined car.
Just
like
hot box in the Red Line.
And so everyone's kind of like, eh, eh. And then somebody goes, that's a fat-ass blunt, man. You're going to share? He goes, oh, shit, yeah.
Fuck, yeah.
And so we waited till the next stop, and anybody who didn't want to party got off and got on the next car.
I don't think I've ever seen a blunt that fat. That sounds awesome.
Absolutely not.
It was unwieldy.
You have to hold it with two hands.
Imagine trying to pass like a Taco Bell soft taco.
back to our Jerusalem. It's a dual wielded blunt.
You make me want to roll fat ass blunts. You make me want to drink whiskey.
But I don't want to drink the whiskey with the jocks. That's for sure.
Ooh,
drinking with the jocks. Drinking with the jocks.
What a gnarly riff in the bass line. Mackie, you're the bass player. How do you feel about this bass line?
It destroys me carnally.
Uh-huh. Mm. Agreed.
Mm-hmm. That fucking line.
Yeah.
This song's crazy. But like, it's also like, yeah, if you're like being covert, if you maybe don't have your like shiz, if you don't have your ducks in a row, and you're like, I am a cisgender heterosexual man and I will drink and party as such. And it's like, look at those fucking bitches. Like, it's very that.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, it kind of like harkening back to like a little bit of like the universality of like, you know, wanting to at least like fit in.
Yeah.
And I mean, definitely in this way and just like the very straight heteronormative way of mm-hmm. like, yeah, I'm a fucking jerk. All this shit.
And almost like parodying it. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Like how shitty it is. Like dudes can be when they're all bros and
punching walls and shit.
Yeah.
It's a real wall puncher of a song here.
So I never got socialized in any of that.
Yeah.
All my friends growing up were girls. Like we're all still really close. Like I've known these women like for almost 20 years now. Mm. And this culture or an attempt at it confounded me.
Yeah.
As a young person, I'm like, why are these people being so crazy and mean?
Yeah.
Like, doesn't anybody want to, like, go to the movies and hold hands?
Yeah. Does anyone want to go to Bath and Body Works later?
Talk about their feelings? When I was in the process of, like, changing my name and pronouns and stuff, I was having a bit of an existential evening, and I texted one of my dear friends, and I'm like, have I always, like, you know, you all say, like, you're, like, I'm one of the girls, but, like, have I always been?
Yeah.
Or, like, what's the deal? And she says, you've been one of the girls since you were 12, except you used to pick really esoteric aspects of masculinity to perform for us for about a week. And then when you were done with it, we would continue to let you being one of the girls.
Well, I can definitely say you weren't missing much from this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Dan, did you ever get one of those books that was like how to be a gentleman?
No, I never got one of those.
See, okay, I had like three because I needed instruction.
Oh my God. Oh my Lord.
And it was like, you know, like how much do you tip? When do you tip? Do you pull out a person's chair? Do you stand when they enter the room?
Oh.
Like car door etiquette. When do you open the door for somebody? When don't you? How do you tie a bow tie? How do you tie a four in hand knot? How do you tie a Trinity knot? When do you wear a Trinity knot versus when do you wear a bow tie? Like this whole thing. I needed it spelled out for me because I was very bad at masculinity.
Yeah.
My dad's deepest secret is that he loves a Hallmark original movie.
Yes!
Yeah.
And we should say it.
Well, he's a teacher, right? It's like he'd get home from work and it'd be like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon or something. And so he'd catch all week like some smushy romance movie. But it'd be like halfway through. And he'd be, and because of when he got home from work, it would always be at the same point in the movie. Until finally he watched the end of the movie enough that he's like, fuck this. And would go buy the movie if it was good enough. And then he'd be like, hey, Mex mom, I have a movie for us to watch. It is romantical and sweet.
Aww.
I like that.
It's very squishy.
That's
nice.
That's
so squish. It's a good squish.
If I would have done that around the guys she's talking about in this song, I would have been crucified.
Oh!
Like Bill Osama.
Yeah, this fucking song title.
What a name. Good, what a good
Osama
one.
Bin Laden as the crucified Christ. God damn.
That is a sentence.
This was about, this came out about the time that they got his ass, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, that or like, well, because they got, I think it was a few years after, because they got him in like 2011?
I don't know.
Sometime around the. Max fact checking for us.
I was going to say, I
really couldn't give two rips about when the United States Empire like invaded some other country to kill a political leader and then celebrated his death in college campuses across the country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You were right, though, 2011.
Oh, yeah.
I just remember there was a joke going around at the time that you could, somebody had come up with a cocktail called the Osama, and it was two shots and a splash of water.
And you have to have six of them and call it the SEAL Team Six.
Stop.
And now you get to how I was drinking when I lived alone.
I think it also references Benedetto. Wow.
Benito.
Mussolini.
And so, his lover.
So there's some extended metaphors here. I think someone else could explain a little better than I.
I was going to say, I'm not too keyed in on Italian political history, but there's a ripper.
with the riff in the opening there. I don't know what. I don't have like a good way to describe it other than it kind of gives me like Dire Straits sort of like vibe with the intro.
Dire Straits.
That's all I have. That's all I can reference.
What, like, it to. Like Money for Nothing? Like,
yeah.
Bow, bow,
yeah.
Bow, 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 nah,
the kind of synthy sound. Ooh, that they got going on.
I was thinking more like late 90s, like. Oh, what's the one? It's like, you can't stop the noise. You can't stop the noise. Oh. I can't shake a power. It's like got that drum machine going. That's like the Fatboy Slim drum machine.
Uh-huh. Random access memories.
It's I played Fatboy Slim or The Prodigy or something.
I played too much FIFA 99 when I was a kid.
And FIFA 99 has ruined the brains of an entire generation.
You know, I'm always saying that.
Oh my lord. Then Daft Punk, is that you?
It's almost like a talk box.
Yeah, yeah. The guitar tones are so sick on this whole record.
The bass is like a fucking chainsaw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we skip the 50 seconds real fast?
Yeah.
And listen how she just, how she says hang. It like makes the hair on my back stand up.
Also like how the vocals bring it like really mono. They bring the mix right up front and in the middle. And then on the breaks, it splits back out wide again. And it's like the on the crash cymbals, and you're like, oh yeah, the cymbals are psh, psh, left, right.
Yeah. Psh, psh. Yeah, it's a really good use of the space, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Also, they did an album play of this at Riot Fest. It was fucking sick. Oh, you should have been there.
Shit, dog.
I'm surprised you weren't.
I know.
Well.
I stopped working there.
Oh, how life passes
dang,
us by.
Dang, fuck my life, right? It wasn't at Riot Fest.
666!
666! Fuck my life, 666. This, absolutely, the song title feels like she had, like, a demo recorded on her phone or something. And it's, like, when you don't know how to, like, name a demo, so you're just like, I don't know, fuck my life, 666. Like,
Reese? Fuck my life, 666, underscore final, final.
The final, final is the funny
underscore
part.
Final, final.
There's never just one final.
Dot PNG.
Or just like a weird esoteric username you made when you were 14.
Yeah. It was actually my
Neopets.
Club Penguin username. I like this song a lot, and I liked sort of the place that this song was written from. This is the one about Lord Jane Grace's ex-wife, and sort of this, like, I know so much of this album is like so like autobiographical. It's very like, this is my experience. And so this one's very like, how is my wife going to feel about my, well, now ex-wife, how is my wife going to feel about my transition? Oh my, what a dynamic to reckon with. It's so interesting. It's so interesting. And it's like, I know I'm doing the right thing and I'm doing like what's right for me, but like, oh man, I got all these relationships I got to contend with. Tough.
Yeah, I bet that is it's something I won't deal with. Like, I bet that is like the hardest.
Yeah.
Thing.
Have you ever known a gay person who accidentally got straight married?
No.
Yes, I know it. Yes.
As much as like, no matter how like jovial and cool and happy everybody is that they're coming out and living their best lives,
right?
There's always like a thing of like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
So I bet that is a really hard thing to deal with.
Also, to specify, there's marriage and then there's straight marriage.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's an accidental gay marriage, but accidental straight marriage, but still gay, but still accidental straight.
I don't know. I was talking about cis gay dudes who. who married a woman and then it's like, oh, I'm gay though.
Yeah, and then that was way more common for a long time, right? Whenever like
it was called protecting yourself.
Yeah, you couldn't be out and hold a job and all these be in this public sphere, so you had no choice but to have straight marriage. Bummer.
I was talking about when a gay couple gets married, like two people who are like of the same sex get married, but then one of them transitions after. and then that's like accidental straight married is what I was thinking about. And I was like, well, that's still gay.
Accidental straight married sounds like a Hallmark movie in 20 years.
I bet your dad would love it.
That's really good. After my people have totally conquered the Hallmark Channel.
Coming and taking it back.
Yeah, we're finally getting like lesbian Christmas movies. So it's only I've been waiting for that.
The Kristen Stewart one.
That was mid.
Mid.
It was mid.
Oh, no. Like, we love Kristen Stewart, right. But like the other love interest. Boring. Anyways.
Yeah.
The lyrics in this one. The rest of the, I feel like the first few songs are much more like punchy, traditional, like punk lengths.
Yeah.
Right. And like the lines on these ones run a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's not just like, fuck this guy, hang from a cross. It's like, no, the ease of your pose, the grace of your silhouette, and the way that your shoulders meet your slender neck. Like, it has much more flow and poetry to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's, by contrast, so much more generous and soft.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It feels really intentional, right?
Yeah. That
they're taking time to say these nice things.
And they're talking about probably a very sensitive subject, to be like, or just like wanting to be loved, but not wanting to like fuck it up. And then also kind of talking about like the fleetingness of like love, where it's,
oh, for sure.
And like the impermanence, like it's like at the end too, this too will soon slip out of reach. This too will soon come to an end.
Yeah, the last chord on this, it's a heartbreaker.
Yeah, it breaks your heart right there.
Yeah, that outro is really special. And I wonder if it was like a, like where the songwriting process was. Like, was it a bridge somewhere else and then they just put it in the outro, or was it written specifically to be an outro? But it makes me feel sad.
Yeah.
But also then being like, I have to, like, for her neat having to do this. No more troubled sleep. There's a brave new world that's raging inside of me.
Yeah. Duality. And then it's like this beautiful, like there's a real tenderness to this song and the next one. But like for it to be this very like more poetic, like tender moment. And then it's called
Fuck My Life 666.
I love it. I love it.
Kind of a meme of a title. But
yeah, I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome.
It's really good. Yeah, let's get into this, the next kind of sad one, Dead Friend.
Oh, yeah. I guess the next two songs, because we have Dead Friend and then Two Coffins.
Yeah.
And those are all like very like this is about someone specific.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a real friend of theirs. Like not written like, you know,
as a character.
That is like very personal to them.
I'm giggling about the opening line, which Dan, you said earlier, tickled your fancy. You don't worry about tomorrow anymore because you're dead.
Very, pretty literal there.
Like, yeah. Like Shirley says the quiet part loud on this song. I think on this whole album, but on this song especially, it's just so like blunt.
Mm-hmm.
Which I appreciate. Again, like there might be some songs, and there are so many songs that are like, I see your face in the clouds and your whisper reminds me of our memories. And this one's like, God damn it, I miss my dead friend.
Yeah, it doesn't really play around here.
No.
So it was written about their friend Pope.
Yep.
Who was like a lighting technician who like kind of met a bunch of them. And the other interesting thing is that Lord and Drink Grace's wife at the time, Heather, also like was like very close to this friend too. Mm-hmm. Like, and so like a lot of the things literally were like Lord and Drink Grace's wife like had a picture of him like on their nightstand. And then that makes the chorus even more interesting when it's like, is Lord and Drink Grace implicating that did her wife like kiss like the casket, or is like in kind of like insinuating some sort of like extramarital thing in there, which is like a whole like new like interesting angle to the song.
Sometimes I
skip this song because it feels too personal and I don't like thinking about it.
It's like feels like you're being nosy a little bit,
a lot bit.
Yeah
it's I mean like some great turns of phrase. It's a great song.
Yeah.
I do love the bluntness. That is something that I tried to employ in my own songwriting because I was very flowery after my time trying to be an English teacher. But on the flip side, it's also just like, you know, I mean, Dan, I don't know. Do you ever write songs that you don't bring to band practice? Because it's like, oh, this is about something very particular with somebody very particular, and we're not ready for that one.
I mean, that's just rewrites where you just gotta like, oh God, I'm a little too naked in this one. I gotta rewrite it and like layer it in like a layer of like obscuring like details and stuff like that. Oh. That's generally how I like try to treat it sometimes, or it's just garbage and then I just delete it and then try again.
See, I've become too happy and content with my life lately. My job's going okay, like my living situation is pretty cool, I've got a dog, my spouse fucking rocks.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And then I'm over here like, well, I'm in a punk band and I gotta put out, we got a record to write. So I stay up late watching like sad TV and I write about the characters and their little lives.
I love that. That's nice. I love that.
And then you can like write whatever you want, and because there's no like, well, is this song secretly about me? And it's like, no, this is a song about infidelity and like having substance problems and a bunch of other stuff. And you know what's not going on in my life right now?
Is that like kind of like fanfic?
I wouldn't say fanfic necessarily, because it's not like I'm trying to like rewrite the end of Fleabag so that she ends up with the priest.
Mm.
But it's more of just like a, okay, if a person was in a situation like that, like,
yeah,
what are they feeling? What are they going through? If they wrote a punk rock song in a gay ass punk band, like, what would it sound like?
Yeah, I struggle with doing anything that's like, I don't know if third person would be the word, or even like detached is the right word, but like kind of outside of like,
oh no, I still put myself like firmly in it.
Yeah.
Like it's still all I's and you's, because there's nothing better than a punk song where you come out swinging against you.
Yeah.
Or the man
without, but like also like treading that line where it starts becoming like too judgmental and you're like telling someone how to live their life.
We do have a rule in Robots that any song that you're writing where you shit on yourself a bit, you have to be in a better place by the end of the song.
Oh, that's nice.
So you're not allowed to just be like, this is a punk rock song, I'm a piece of shit and I suck, my life is bad and I'm really angry. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, you can have those feelings, but it's like, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't necessarily need to be like, I'm going to therapy about my problems and they prescribe me new pills because
got
it turns
the prime
out
medication and I'm okay.
Right. Like, actually, that'd be a sick ska punk song.
Yeah.
That got the right medication, so I'm okay. I got the right medication, so I'm okay.
Oh, great. Now we got to go record the demo real quick.
The walking bass line. It's all on one string, right?
Yeah.
You can just ride on the 1 and 5. Oh, sorry, right. The 1 and 4.
I got the right medication.
Stay up. You can. No. We're in a workshop.
I no longer want to stay up late. It's about like you kill the insomnia.
Stay up late.
You're getting like 8 hours of sleep. You're getting to work on time. You call your friends.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Shit.
The verse is about the conversation with your therapist, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And how like you don't have to go to therapy anymore because your therapist said you're well adjusted.
Wow. Yeah. Well adjusted would be a great line somewhere. What are you writing? What are you writing with well adjusted?
It's the termination conversation.
Termination conversation says I'm well adjusted.
Oh!
Yeah, something like that.
I'm finally coming out of my cage. These things have all been
shit,
busted.
Shit, we gotta make this now.
Yeah.
I'm the right medication.
It's all
I'm okay.
It's all recorded, so you can't lose it.
Yeah, can you send us the demos that we're working on here?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to start singing that to myself when I take my Lexapro. I'm okay.
So
by the end of the song, you got to be on the right medication.
You got to be on the right
medication. Well, not even necessarily on the right medication, but at least like better off.
Like you at least got an ice cream cone,
right? Right. Like you've made some moves to try to like process what's going on,
yeah,
or to get revenge,
yeah, something like that.
But revenge is always valid. I stand by revenge.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one song on the new record, Meters Squared, was that was totally just about me just having like an existential freak out like during COVID. And then like, but at least at the end of the song, just wanting to like, I may be like a mess here, but I'm like trying to work on like my relationships with people and right, at least like being there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's cool. That's what I think about personal songs. You heard it here.
Yeah. Boom.
I dig it.
I love it. And here's another personal song. And this is like our first break in the whole record. Like right now, we're probably like, what, like 22 minutes of just like going so hard.
Bangers.
So Two Coffins, I think, is a nice little reprieve before we get out of the record.
Nice little reprieve is a way of saying it.
For a song about how much you love your child, but you're both going to die.
Yeah, that's a vibe.
But, I mean, at least, like, you probably can't open up the pit to this one. You can, like, go grab a water.
I think people who get waters during the sad songs are cowards.
Yes.
Stand in the pit
and feel
and
it.
And take your feelings.
Take those feelings.
Yeah. So yeah, this is our third tenderoni here, talking about Laura Jane Grace's daughter, and how, it's so like, I love you, my sweet tender child. We're both gonna die. We're gonna be in coffins. We'll decay in our graves. You have a face like a little moon. And I was like,
but I'm glad to have known you.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, I don't know, just so sweet. It kind of sounds like a fucked up little lullaby.
That's a good way to describe it. Yeah, it's a pretty fucked up lullaby.
So how do we feel about the void?
The void of death?
The void.
I was kind of hoping we were going to talk about death on this one. Yeah, sure. The being a sentient being and knowing we're going to die is such
a
bummer.
It's fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a loss kind of recently. My grandma passed away in December. So I've been thinking about death a lot. And she was a super badass lady. Like, she's picture like a 4'9" woman from Wisconsin, always in hand a glass of white Zinfandel from Trader Joe's with a couple ice cubes that she fished out of her grandkid's Sprite, and she wants to go to the dollar store with you.
I love that.
She doesn't want a funeral. She wants a party. And so, like, that's really started to color my perspective on death is, like, fuck yeah. Like, okay. It's inevitable. Like,
yeah, we're here for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. I feel cool about it. I think the thing I care about more than, like, you know, me and, like, my experience coming to a close is, like, what is my impact or what is my impression on the people around me? I think that's the thing that freaks me out more than, like, the VCR of me getting ejected from the TV.
Well, I've never heard that
what
metaphor.
What a metaphor. I love that. And it's such it's a specific metaphor too, the VHS tape.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
Well, I like that. But that's just me.
On the VCR, my brain's got a PBJ shoved in it, but that's me.
No, I resonate with that. But also, like, hopefully, like, making a positive impact on people. Like, I don't know, I'm not one for being like, oh, my legacy and like, everything that I'm leaving behind. But like, you know, as long as I leave like good memories for people, like that's kind of enough for me to like help me feel content.
Yeah, I was talking to a really good friend about this today, actually, and a little bit last night. And they were really worried and upset about like if there is or isn't an afterlife and the whole deal. And and I'm like, well, I got most of my philosophy by listening to punk rock records. And but, you know, again, taking it back to that, the first couple tracks with like, does God bless your transsexual heart? For me, that was the thing with like coming out was going to be like, you know, there's parts of certain belief structures that it's like, well, you made your move. Sorry, you're a trans person, and you're dead forever.
Mm.
And it's like, well, shit, like, what are we going to do with that now?
Mm-hmm.
And that was really, really scary for a while. You know, like your grandma with her party. It's just like, well, at the end of the day, it's like, it's your life to live.
Yeah.
You got to live it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the only good, really, that we can do is be in there for each other and keep an eye out for folks. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, all the people that really made a difference when I was kind of bottoming out. One, they know who they are and they just, I owe them my life forever. But also, like, that was so important to me and to these people, right? Like, they were like, you know, taking me out for dinner or like getting me a ride to the beauty supply shop so I could shave my head or like whatever existential insane thing I was suggesting we do. But like the patience and the kindness offered by these people is what made the difference. So I try to live my life like that.
Yeah.
And it's like,
mm-hmm.
I figure anybody who put me on this earth on purpose would respect that. And at the very least, we can have a talk about it before I fry.
Mm-hmm. So.
Hell yeah. I like this metaphor of like a campground. Did you guys ever go to a campground and they would tell you, like, leave it better than you found it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just hope I leave like this big hunk of dirt a little better than I found it.
Yeah.
I found it pretty bad.
Right.
Leave only footprints, take only memories.
Yeah.
Put that in a Hallmark movie.
Right. Yeah. Have that needle pointed on a pillow.
Yeah.
Got a cousin who works for the Park Service, and I'm pretty sure he does have a needle pointed on a pillow.
Fuck yes.
Yes.
I love. Well, shall we pivot into
the paralytic? Penultimate.
The penultimate?
Yes.
Mm.
The paralytic states.
I think the main riff of the song might be like one of my favorite riffs off this record. I don't know. I'm a sucker for it.
Can we play it?
Absolutely, yeah. We can.
And then I've got a song to play right after it.
Gorge.
That I think y'all like.
You like this.
Yeah.
I love that.
I love a really good build like that.
Yum.
So good.
I know, like, thematically, or at least what I read, is the original, like, direction for Transgender Dysphoria Blues was originally going to be more so of, like, a concept record.
Yeah.
About, like, this character who was a trans woman and a sex worker.
Mm-hmm.
And just sort of the perils and plights of that whole deal.
Yeah.
So this is kind of carryover from that vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That and True Trans Soul Rebel was also kind of like had like that sort of carryover as well.
Yeah. Which I think is very interesting. Cause I was reading a quote about this, about like how some of the lyrics are about this person like bleeding out in a bathtub, and Laura Jane Grace is talking about this song. She's like, well, I'm not dead in a bathtub, so it's not totally autobiographical. But there are some experiences I relate to, you know, mm-hmm. that this character may have experienced.
Yeah. Just like that first verse of describing just like this rundown like hotel, like hearing people make love in like the other room, hearing babies crying. Like
be clear, this is not love making, it's this fucking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to be so brash in my language.
Right, but there's a lingual difference between if you hear love making through the walls or if you hear fucking through the walls.
Yeah, that's very true.
Mm. It's more uncomfortable to hear love making through the walls.
Really? You think so?
Oh, definitely.
Huh.
I had neighbors who like would like put on like the Al Green.
Stop.
And it'd be like this like tender smushy like, and you're like I'm interrupting something intimate. Like, yeah. This is like I need
if
to go.
If they're just low. Fucking, then it's like.
Right, but yeah. You get something where it's like, pull my hair, like,
yeah,
right, like
whatever.
Yeah,
we've all been
that's
there.
Just yeah. Tuesday.
That's so funny. I've been trying to figure out a segue to Black Me Out, and there's nothing. Fuck you, Chris Loving can't get me there.
Man,
is that a spin-off podcast?
Fucking versus loving.
Fucking versus loving.
Wow.
So many ideas.
It's the newest.
It's like
the,
FMK.
It's like the newest fucking Netflix like rom-com reality show.
New, like Love is Blind.
Yeah, fucking versus loving.
We're just like, I love your vibe. Do you want to hold hands and eat Italian food? Versus like, nope, here we go.
Oh,
drop trap.
My God. Oh,
let's go.
That could be a dating show.
There are too many good ideas in this episode. Too many good
ideas. That's because Dan and I are really funny and we're creative geniuses and you should all love us and listen to our music and come to our shows.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly what I was going to
exactly.
say.
Exactly.
Brilliant. No.
Guys, this is how magic gets made.
I hate myself. Kidding, but I love it.
But.
Turn it into content, like- baby.
But I like hating myself with you.
Aww, smush.
Black Me Out was the first Against Me song I ever heard.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep, it was. And a funny story about this one. We were playing a show in a basement in Long Island, and we do a cover of Black Me Out that wasn't even like part of the Against Me set, just because, you know, you need a break in the set when it's loud, hard, and fast. And Black Me Out's like slower. You still have to go for it. You can't like half-ass it, but at least it gives Dan like a chance to breathe and play something that's not at 180 BPM.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's a DIY show in a basement in Long Island. We're like halfway through the set, and the person who's hosting the show realizes that the evening has gotten away from him. He has no idea what time it is. Mm-hmm. He's been outside smoking, and it's his mom's house. And his mom is real mad that there is still punk rock in the basement at 11 p.m.
Oh, no.
Real mad. Uh-huh. So this dude comes like running downstairs and is like, y'all are way over your time. It's like we had been like, first off, Robot Civil War is like tight. We don't go over a set. Yeah. We're always, but the sets did start late because the previous bands took a while and load in and load out and whatever else. And so, but all the blame was coming down on us. And he's like, you got to quit playing like right now. Like, we got to stop the show. And we're like, okay. But we were halfway through our cover of Black Me Out, and I just remember, like, the two things that stand out were, one, me not knowing if we finished the song. Mm. Two, me being kind of mad that we were being blamed for something that was really not our fault. And three, the tiny human in the front who goes, well, that guy said fuck trans rights.
Oh, no.
We picked up our shit and got out of there because it wasn't worth the aggravation.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Can I just play the first, like,
yes,
verse and chorus?
Do.
Oh, mm-hmm. My God. This song is so kick-ass.
The way the riff starts like this and then comes in after it gets big is, like, God-tier riff writing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would pay $1 million to watch you guys play it in a basement halfway through.
I'll be the tiny human in the front.
I don't ever want to talk that way again. I don't want to know people like that anymore. As if there was an obligation. As if I owed you something. Black me out.
God damn it. So good.
That same run in New York, the last show we played was in Rochester. Mm. And it's where Dan's hometown. And we played at this like DIY bar. There was like a stage and speakers. But they were like, yeah, here's the key to the PA. Good luck.
Oh,
and we're playing with a couple other Rochester bands. One of them is now defunct, but they were called XRT, the X-Rated Taxpayers. And oh, they were so good. Love forever to Scarlett and Rick. But yeah, so like the crowd was like a bunch of queer folks, And then like Dan and Brian's extended family who hadn't seen their precious baby boys in a couple years. And this one, when we played it, like everybody is just screaming at the top of their lungs, just like going through the chorus, just be like, you know, as if let me out.
Oh man.
And to be, you know, 14, 16 hours from home and have everybody in the bar on the same page. And it's like, yeah, we're all here for the same reasons and we all like each other. And it was just really a great moment.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
It's up there with how Dan introduced me to his mom. Mm.
Tell me more.
Yeah. we're sitting at the kitchen table at his parents' house, the house Dan was raised in.
Yeah.
And his mom comes in from wherever she was. And Dan goes, Mom, I have to introduce you to somebody really important to me. This is my bassist, Mech. And like, Dan, you can't queer bait your mom, right, dude.
This is my bae.
Cyst.
Maybe you should just queer bait your parents more. I don't know.
Queer bait your mom 2024.
Can you put that on a t-shirt, please?
I will buy that
shirt. Now that's a New Year's resolution. 2024.
By the end of the year, she's like, I thought you and Brittany were gay together. No, Mom, I have a boyfriend.
Get with it, Mom. God.
Shout out to James Bauman, who is their guitar player and also just like has such a beautiful like tenor voice, like harmonizing all of Laura Jane Grace's like lines. He is like the sideman of the century, just yeah, being
the,
like...
The harmonies on this entire record are one, tight as fuck, and two... Hard as fuck, which we learned the hard way.
Yeah, trying to redo a lot of those. That dude can go high, and it's like, in my voice.
And we'd always play it kind of towards the end of the set because I'm like, and it's just like my throat is clenched and my voice is dying.
It's a dual kingmaker. Like adding just like the nice like, oh, on it.
So good.
Yeah. This is real nice, and I like it, especially on this song.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like it's a great closer. It's like,
yeah.
It's anthemic.
It is anthemic.
Yeah.
It's like full body high, and I'm never coming down. It's like, it doesn't matter. Like, I've said what I've come to say. I've said it, and you heard me say it, so fuck you. And, yo, what's up? This is me.
Yeah.
And it's so catchy. It stayed with me, like, the whole day after I did a listen this morning.
Absolutely.
This is when you do have to be careful about like singing to yourself on public transit, though.
With a giant blunt in your hand.
you do get looks.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
I bet the crowd hotboxing the red line would appreciate it, though.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah.
Also, definitely have felt the feeling of just when you're just like, I do not want to exist to this person anymore. Oh, just like,
bury that.
Yeah. Black me out.
Eternal sunshine my ass. Like, yoink. Yeah. Yeah.
What a deeply fucked film.
Yes.
Do you want to do a Ruski on air? Or do you want to take a break?
Let's deliberate for a moment because I need to use.
I
need to go
stand
pee-pee
up
in the potty.
Yeah.
The nominees for record that you should give to your kid cousin who you have a few questions about are American Idiot by Green Day. Welcome to the Black Parade.
Yeah.
My Chemical Romance. Believe by Cher. And the winner of the record that you should probably give to your kid cousin who you've got a few questions about. Transgender Dysphoria Blues.
I was worried they weren't going
to
get it.
I was biting my nails over here.
I thought for sure it was going to go to Cher.
She's had enough. folks, thank you so freaking much for listening to another wacky, riveting, and delicious episode of Album or Brews. We are, in fact, Album or Brews, and believe it or not, we'll continue to be Album or Brews. If you want to check us out on Twitter or Instagram, it is at Album Rebrews. And if you want to take a look at our website, it is www.albumrebrews.com.
A big, huge thinking to who thinking?
What's hey, a thinking? Big old, hey, a big old thinking. Big old hoot 90 thinking.
Hoot 90.
Hey, big old thanking to you. Big old thanking to Cameron. Big old thanking to our guests here.
Will you actually just do the rest of my part like that?
Not with a bad Southern accent.
Give me some slack. I'm from Wisconsin.
I was gonna say, my family's from Alabama. It's just like it just grates on me.
Yeah.
Thanks to Cameron Bopp for writing our theme song and editing our show. We couldn't do it without him. So go give him a follow at Evil Twitter. Or just X now, at Cambop. Go check out his Cambop EP. We love plugging that. Another big thank you to Angry Flannel Flautist on Buy Me a Coffee for supporting the show this month. If you want to support the show, you can give us money that we'll use for the show.
Imagine that.
You can also share the show and like it and review it. And all that stuff helps this little independent podcast keep going. A big, huge, giant thank you to Dan and Mech from Robot Civil War for coming on and showing us this record and deep diving it with us. If you are on the internet right now, which you have to be, unless you're like listening to this podcast on a record or like a tape.
Or you like downloaded it before your flight.
You ever stuck in traffic and then the podcast says like to do something on your computer? And you're like, driving, leave me alone. And then it's just, and then you're like, okay, mental note. I'm gonna make a mental note when I get home. I'm gonna do that. Yeah. And then like by the time you get home, you're like, what am I making for dinner? And then you're totally like, wow, I totally forgot to do that thing about the podcast that I was supposed to do.
It's called a voice memo. You can do that.
Yeah. And interrupt my little stories.
stories.
If you're driving right now, pause. Voice memo.
Pull over.
Siri, take a memo.
Cameron, put an ambulance noise right now. We'll trick them. Go follow Robot Civil War on Instagram at Robot Civil War, just like how it spells. And then go see them live on March 30th with the Gruel Brothers at the Burlington. We love the Burlington. It's a great spot. Go there anyways. How do I top all the funny stuff we've already
said? I'm gonna hijack their phone. Hey Siri, put on Greasy Gears by Robot Civil War. Thanks. It's a really good album.
That's a funny bit. I wonder if that'll actually work.
Alexa, put on Greasy Gears by Robot Civil War. Hey, Google.
Hey, Google.
I hope I enunciated enough for it to, alert the devices.
Hey, Google, play the album Greasy Gears by Robot Civil War.
To be clear, all three of you are dead once the Robot Civil War comes.
Fuck! Oh,
man. We made fun of the Google.
We shall remember this infraction.
But for real, go check it out. It is great, fast, hard, loud Chicago punk, and you're going to love it. Anything you two want to say to the folks at home before we get out of here?
Big thanks to Laura Jane Grace for writing one of the best records just ever. A huge fan. Love it forever. And it means the world.
Oh, yeah.
Love you, Laura.
Well, then, to close it out, we are going to, in the order that we introduced ourselves, get very, very, very close to the microphone and give the audience a sweet and tender ASMR-style goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Sweet dreams.